I wanted to stir something in you. So I throw out some questions there for you. So that's why we want to start this morning. So I ask you this, how is your Christian walk? Is it where you want it to be? Are you receiving all the blessings that God has for you? Things to consider. I know for me, quite often, there are times I do well, and I feel that I'm walking in the full blessings of God, and then it takes one thing, and I stumble and fall, or I fall into sin, or I think something I shouldn't think, or I get upset with somebody I shouldn't get upset with. It just takes a moment. So for us, there's always room for growth. How's your Christian walk? Is it where you want it to be? The title of my sermon today is Blessed Are You. Should be up here. Blessed are you. So we know as Christians, as believers, we are people who are in right standing with God, right? We're striving daily to live for Him. And when we do that, blessed are you. Amen? How can you have a successful Christian life then? How can you receive the full blessings of God? I'd like to talk a little bit about that today. And hopefully we could discover some truths as we spend time in God's Word. Have you ever noticed, though, that blessings, God's blessings, they don't always come as we think they should come, when they should come. They don't always come as we kind of expect them to come. Quite often, for me, is I get down the road and I go through some struggles, I go through some trials, some difficulties, and I can't see what God's doing. And I go, Lord, where's the blessings? What's going on? Why do I seem to just be running into walls and doors being slammed in my face and having such a difficult time? And then as life progresses and I finally bang my head on the wall enough times that I learn what God's trying to say to me, I can look back and I can see the blessings, right? Blessings don't always come how we expect them to come, but they're there if we're looking. Notice, anybody here who have children? What a blessing children are, right? They're a blessing. They're wonderful, but they're also difficult. They're born, they're cute, they're lovable, and then they start growing and living life, and it's a difficult process at times. It's hard to be a parent, and it's hard to see your children go through some of the difficulties they go through, but overall, it's a blessing. It's a blessing when you're able to guide them and lead them and you see them grow into a successful adult. It's the same thing with work. We go to work, we do a job, we get paid. It's a blessing, right? But work's not always that fun. Work's sometimes difficult. If you have a job that you enjoy, you won't work a day in your life, right? You heard that saying? But even then, there's days where like, I don't want to go to work or I don't want to deal with that customer. But it's still a blessing because we're able to pay our bills and take care of our families. We talked about Resurrection Sunday. Doug's be preaching about that, right? Just look what Jesus went through in his ministry. He was hated. He was persecuted. He was sought after. They tried to kill him multiple times. They tried to force him to establish his kingdom. And he went through all this stuff to the point where he was hung on a cross, crucified, and died. Why? Such difficulties so that we can be blessed, right? So blessings, they don't always come. So we want to be looking for them. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying. So who remembers, I believe it was last year, I had the opportunity to preach my first sermon. Some of you were here, you remember that? That was fun, but that was challenging. But I started in these verses, these same verses. Verses 1 and 2 of Matthew chapter 5. And do you remember this picture here? I put this picture up because we see, I wanted you to imagine with me, we have a mountain. It's not the mountain Jesus went up on. I just picked a picture of a cool mountain. So, but Jesus, he went up, he saw the crowd, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, right? I talked then about that process. The disciples were probably among the people. They weren't just content being in the crowd. When they saw Jesus up on the mountain, they went up to him. And I invited you at that time, I was saying, I don't want to be in the crowd. I don't just want to be content being close to Jesus. I want to be at the feet of Jesus. I want to sit at his feet, and I want to hear every word that he has to say. I don't want to miss anything. And I invited you to come join me, right? So today I invite you again, come up on the mountain with me. Let's sit at the feet of Jesus. You're invited. So we're going to continue Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 3 through 12. And it says, Jesus speaking here, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So Jesus is talking about blessings, right? Godly blessings, the full blessings of God. The title, I don't believe he used this word, but they use the word Beatitudes as the title. Beatitude, the word Beatitude means supreme blessings, extreme happiness. Supreme blessings, extreme happiness. That's what the word Beatitude does. I want to do a little play on words. The word Beatitude. And I want to ask you, what type of attitude do you want to be? Beatitude. What type of attitude do you want to be? What kind of attitude are we called to have as believers? A godly attitude, one that Jesus speaks of and teaches here, will result in blessings. And blessings are good, right? Check out this saying. I don't know who said it, but it says, God's favor rests not on perfection, but on posture. A posture and an attitude that's completely submitted to God. Our posture should be in submission to our loving and heavenly Father, right? We must have an attitude that God's calling us to have. Quite often, I get upset and I have the wrong attitude. And what's the result? The blessings don't flow, right? I create a wall, I create a barrier, and I either have to deal with that or I just continue down a path that I don't want to go. A posture and attitude completely submitted to God. It falls down to what's our motive? Why do we do what we do? Why do we come here each and every Sunday? Why do we stand here and worship God? Why do we take care of our family and love them? Why do we share our faith? What's our motive? Our motive is that attitude of a heart after God, a people who wants to please God, who wants to serve him. A godly attitude will also help us at Lifehouse Church to accomplish our mission. I wanted to get our mission out here. I want to encourage you, if you don't already have the mission memorized, learn it, memorize it. It's on our website. It's under our blue our culture blueprint. It says, be the house of Jesus, caring personally, serving practically, and living powerfully. Be the house of Jesus. That's our mission. That's who we are. That's who we want to be. That's what we want to accomplish. Be the house of Jesus, caring personally, serving practically, living powerfully. So I ask you this question. Have you ever been hurt or offended by somebody? Duh. Every day, right? How did you react? Were you angry? Did you have some choice words for them? Did you want to put them in their place? Maybe even punch them in their face? Kind of like a rap song, huh? I'll put you in your place and punch you in your face. You didn't know I had it in me, did you? I'm joking. Or when they hurt you and offended you, did you keep your mouth shut? Maybe you just forgave them. Maybe you did say something about it, but you spoke the truth in love, as opposed to lashing out and saying hurtful words, destructive words, right? That response is a response of one who is blessed. When we choose to do that as opposed to the other, take offense and say things we shouldn't say or do things we shouldn't do, there's no blessing in that. But if we could take a moment and go, okay, God, I need your help because this person really pushed my buttons and I'm mad. But if we could act right and respond right, that's the actions and the response of one who is blessed. Have you ever seen a family in need and you decided to give them money? Maybe you made a dinner for them and delivered it. Maybe you bought them groceries. That's the actions of one who is blessed. Someone who is blessed is about serving others, right? Loving them. How about driving? You ever had anybody cut you off, make you mad? Pastor Doug spoke about this last week, and he talked about the difficulties he had with that. But what I took away from that is he was successful in that, because even though he had those thoughts and feelings, he didn't act on them. He chose the right response. But you know, he still had to work through that. And I could so relate with that, because I spend so much time on the road driving, and somebody does something, and I'm mad now. I'm upset. And I really have to guard myself, and I can't say I've done well all the times where maybe there was certain hand gestures that came out, certain words. Maybe I sped up and cut them off in return. And that's not the attitude we want, right? That's not a proper motive. That's not what God would have us do. Quite often, what I try to do is try to just back off and let them go. But I still have to deal with my thoughts, right? What I've learned, and I try to do it, is opposed to staying angry, I pray for them. You know, something like, Lord, would you just get them? Would they get what they deserve? Don't do that. Lord, I don't know what their hurry is or what they're going through, but would you bless them? And while you bless them, will you help me with these thoughts that I shouldn't be having, right? These are the actions of one who's blessed. Taking those thoughts captive when they come to the obedience of Christ is helpful. But we have to make a conscious choice to do so. It doesn't just happen for me. I have to stop and go, okay, Lord, I don't want to think like that. I don't want to act that way. I don't want to speak those words. So I take them captive and I give them to you because I don't know what to do with them. And he's faithful to help us. So what does to be blessed look like? What's it look like in our lives? It's your heart being aligned with God's heart. Again, it comes down to that attitude and that motive. We want God's heart because God works things for good, because God can help us overcome the negative thoughts, can help us overcome the sin that we fall into, right? We want to have a heart that's aligned with God's heart. We want to be in right standing with God. If there's sin, we need to deal with it quickly and get back into right standing. We don't want to allow sin to create that barrier and keep us separated or create a barrier between us and God. We want to deal with it quickly. To be blessed is being richly satisfied despite your circumstances, trusting God through the circumstances. To be blessed is being completely submitted and dependent on God. Completely submitted and dependent on God. Psalm 128, verse 1 says, "How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways." I pray this prayer often about being submitted to God, because it's so easy throughout the day, when you're at home with the family or at work, it's so easy just to rely on your own abilities. But I pray often, Lord, I want to submit to you completely, and I want to trust you completely. I want to be dependent on you in every area of my life, because I can't do it on my own. To be blessed is being humble and contrite of spirit. Humble, we know, but it's one who walks in humility, one who is lowly, who doesn't look to exalt himself. Humble. Contrite is one who is repentant, one who is remorseful. So to be blessed is to be humble and contrite of spirit. Isaiah 66, verse 2. "For my hand made all these things, thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word." And then in James chapter 4, verse 6, "God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." You want to be blessed, be humble and contrite of spirit. To be blessed is being one who mourns over their sin and the sin of the world. Sin is an affront to a loving God. It grieves him. Sin is rebelling against God, right? So when we sin, we should mourn and repent. That's the appropriate response, right? Not, "I'm going to make excuses and justify myself why I sin." We should mourn over it, right? We should grieve over our sin. When we see the sin of the world, it should grieve us. We shouldn't go, "It's okay, you know, to each his own." We're just called to love, and so they could just sin. There's ways to handle it, but their sin or the sin of the world should grieve us. We shouldn't be okay with that, right? To be blessed is to be one who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. Hungers and thirst for righteousness. So it isn't just I'll just strive and try to live righteously. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Have you ever been so thirsty? We live in Arizona, so I would assume we've all been there, where you crave nothing but water. And water was the only thing that could satisfy that need. Same with righteousness. It's the only thing that should satisfy what we want as a people of God. Matthew 4, verse 4. "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.' And in 1 John 3:10, 'By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God.'" So how does the world define blessed to be blessed? How does the world look at what blessings and to be blessed or being blessed is? And just for clarity, when I talk about, I say the world, I'm just referring to the systems of the world, right? Government, society, culture. I'm also referring to people who are in and of the world, meaning they're not part of God's kingdom. We live in the world, but we are not of the world, right? As believers, we're part of God's kingdom. John 18:36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." In John 15:19, "If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, Because of this, the world hates you. So we're not of the world, right? The world sees someone who's blessed differently than how God sees someone who's blessed. The world sees someone who's blessed differently than how God sees someone's blessed, right? So check this out. Jesus sees the crowd, and he goes up on the mountain, and he sits down, and his disciples come to him, and he begins to teach the people. And what does he do? He totally flips the script, right? He flips the world's values on their head, upside down. When we live in the world, we think of this is what it means to be blessed. Jesus said, no, it's not this, it's this, right? He flips the script. Can you imagine as he's preaching, as he's speaking, as he's teaching, I can imagine people who didn't know better were doing that puppy dog thing. What's he talking about? What do you mean? Love. Be gentle. Be merciful. How do I protect myself if I do that? That makes no sense. It's the complete opposite, right? The Beatitudes are not a checklist. They're a calling. We don't go through this teaching and go, blessed are the poor, those who mourn, the gentle, those who hunger. It's not a checklist, right? It's a calling. Jesus is calling you. He's calling me. He's calling each and every one of us to live a life that's pleasing to God. To live a life that brings him glory. We're included in the process. It doesn't just happen. We live our life and we take partnership with God and his Spirit and live our life that's pleasing to him. Following the world will not result in the full blessings of God. We think about, we watch TV or the radio, you talk to coworkers. The world says it's cool to have sex with as many people as you want and can. It's a game. How many people can I sleep with? The world says that's okay. God says otherwise, right? It's not okay for us to lust after another woman or man, to commit adultery in our hearts, right? That will not result in blessings. It's not okay to covet after your neighbor's belongings, what they have. That will not result in blessings. It's not okay to speak or think poorly of others. That will not result in blessings. That's not who we're called to be. It's not okay to choose not to forgive someone. Right? Who remembers my second time preaching? Preached on forgiveness, the dangers of unforgiveness, right? There was a phrase that I had you guys repeat multiple times. Who remembers that phrase? Oh, nobody took notes. Forgiveness is always the right choice, right? You want the full blessings of God, forgiveness is always the right choice. Someone who is blessed, they give freely of their time, their energy, their money for the furtherance of God's kingdom. Someone who is blessed chooses to love over hate and resentment. Someone who is blessed turns off the TV and spends more time with God. And I'm not saying TV's bad. I'm not talking on that. I'm not saying you're bad if you watch TV. But for me, I watch too much TV. Someone who is blessed, and when we could step into the full blessings of God, turn the TV off and spend time in the Word. Spend time in prayer. Spend time just sitting in His presence and listening. Spend time with the Lord. That's someone who is blessed. Someone who is blessed loves and cherishes their spouse, is committed to working things out when trouble comes. Right? That's someone who is blessed. I love this picture. Jesus being crucified on the cross. Let me explain more. That kind of came out wrong, didn't sound quite right, did it? But I love this picture. There's two criminals on the side of them, right? One of the criminals says, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." This guy, criminal, being crucified, probably deserved to be there. Probably lived a life that wasn't a good life, that didn't receive the full blessings of God. But it took one act of him simply believing on Jesus Christ. He wasn't blessed hanging on the cross, but blessings were coming, right? What a picture for us. How easy we can step into the full blessings of God simply by believing in him as King, as Lord, and submitting to him. We can step into full blessings of God. So how can you obtain the full blessings of God? What's your part? What's expected of you? So basic stuff. It's not rocket scientists. Seek after Jesus. Put Jesus first in all things, right? Put Jesus first in every area of your life, in your marriage, in your work, in your business, in your family, in your neighborhood. Put Jesus first in everything. That's what it looks like to be blessed. Seek after these blessings. So when you spend time in these verses and you're seeking after those blessings listed in the Beatitudes, seek after those blessings. Don't seek after the blessings of the world. Obey God's commandments. Live according to his word. Submit to his will. Seek his face. Love him with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the teachings of Christ, right? That's our part. That's what's expected of us. I want to encourage you this week, maybe the next, do it soon. Spend some time in Matthew chapter 5. Verses 1 through 12. Study those scriptures. Be asking God, what does that mean to be poor in spirit? What does that look like to mourn? How do I hunger and thirst for righteousness? Spend time with God in these verses and be asking him, how do I live a life that allows for you the full blessings of God? In Psalms 112, verse 1, "Praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments." Megan, you want to come up? So as Christians, we are a people who are after the heart of God. Is that a statement that you would agree with? As Christians, we are a people who are after the heart of God. I saw this on Facebook. I think it was Val. He posted it. I think it was yesterday. And I so loved it, I added it. It says, "His calling," speaking of Jesus, "his calling on your life was never dependent on perfection. It's dependent on his power." How true that is. We're not perfect. We make mistakes, right? God knows we're not perfect. He knows we struggle. He knows we fall short. We stumble. We sin. But as Christians, when we sin, it doesn't give us the right to live a lifestyle of sin. And what I mean by that is when we come to the Lord, we can't just say a sinner's prayer and be forgiven and then live however we want to live. We can't go out and go, you know what, I'm forgiven, so I'm just going to sleep with who I want to sleep with, and I'm going to party every week, and I'm not going to go to church, and I'm not going to speak blessings to anybody. It doesn't work that way, right? We live for God. So when we sin, because we're not perfect, because we have times where we stumble, what do? We should repent quickly. And even if we don't, we should repent at some point. So when we sin, it should cause us to mourn. We should mourn over that sin because we know it's an affront to God. We know it creates a barrier. When the Lord, we know through His Spirit, He won't condemn us, but He will convict us. When conviction comes, repent. Deal with it quickly. Father God, I repent. I don't want to live that way. I don't want to speak that way. I don't want to think that way. I don't want to treat other people that way. Lord, would you help me? Forgive me for my sin. I don't want to do that. And guess what? He forgives you. You get up and you're back in right standing with the Lord. And if it takes a day, a week, 3 weeks, a month, whatever, and you sin again, you go through the process again. That's what a Christian does. And when we do that, the blessings of God will be poured out upon us. This lifestyle will result in full blessings of God in your life. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Turn to your neighbor and say, blessed are you. Blessed are you. Go ahead and stand with me, please. I have a few questions for your response. Are you needing and willing to grow in your Christian walk? Of the commandments listed in the Beatitudes, are there some you struggle with more than others? And are you needing help and guidance to live a life worthy of the full blessings of God? If you could respond to any one of those, I want to invite you to come up for ministry. We're going to have a time of worship, and then we're going to be praying for you. If you have any need for prayer, any need for healing, any struggle that you're going through, you need prayer, come up, receive prayer. Let's worship for a moment.
You go before, I know that you've even gone to win my war. You come back with the head of my enemy. You come back and you call it my victory. Oh, you go before, I know that you've even gone to win my war. Your love becomes my greatest defense. It leads me from the dry wilderness. All I did was praise. All I did was worship. Where my heart can see to find is the shade.